Jaya Rama Rama Kunjali Hari Dobhyana Halaba Ivaradari Yasoda Nandana Vrajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabi Hari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Prabhupada, 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 Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada,
Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Om Shri Mahamaha Swami Vacharya Asta, Vishwadi C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai, Namacharya Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Paramsakaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Swasti Gaur Bhaktivedanta Ki Jai. Shri Sri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopida Shama Kunda Radha Kudikit Guvardhan Ki Jai Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Jai Navadam Ki Jai Ganga Jamuna Tulsi Bhakti Devi Ki Jai Ananda Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai Samavetta Bhakti Vrinda Ki Jai Gopremanandi All glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to the Sam of the Bodhis, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Guranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasadaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane. Namaste Sarasvata Devi Gauravani Prachadane Nirvishesha Shunyavani Paschacharishitarane Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadada Shivasati Gauravakravinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam Canto 10 Chapter 55 Verse 9 Nati dirgena kalena Sakarshni ruda yovana Janayam asa narinam Vikshantinam cha vibramam Na not Ati dirgena very long Kalena, after a time, sa, he, Karshni, the son of Krishna, Aruda, attaining, Ayovana, full youth, Janayam Asa, generated, Nadinam, for the women, Vikshantina, who looked upon him, Cha, and Vibramam, enchantment. Translation, after a short time, this son of Krishna, Pradumna, attained his full youth.
he enchanted all women who gazed upon him. My dear king, with a bashful smile and raised eyebrows, Mayavati exhibited various gestures of conjugal attraction as she lovingly approached her husband, whose eyes were broad like the petals of a lotus, whose arms were very long, and who was the most beautiful of men. Purport, Mayavati exhibited her conjugal attraction for Pradyumna even before revealing their true identities. Naturally, this caused some confusion at first, as described in the following verse. The Lord Pradyumna told her, "O mother, your attitude has changed. You are overstepping the proper feelings of a mother and behaving like a lover." Rati said, "You are the son of Lord Narayana and were kidnapped from your parents' home by Shambhara. I, Rati, am your legitimate wife, O master, because you are Cupid. That demon, Shambhara, threw you into the sea when you were not even 10 days old, and a fish swallowed you. Then, in this very place, we recovered you from the fish's abdomen, O master. Now, kill this dreadful Shambhara, your formidable enemy. Although he knows hundreds of magic spells, you can defeat him with bewildering magic and other techniques. Your poor mother, having lost her son, cries for you like a kurari bird. She is overwhelmed with love for her child, just like a cow that has lost its calf." Sukadeva Goswami continued, "Speaking thus, Mayavati gave to the great soul, Pradyumna, the mystic knowledge called Mahamaya, which vanquishes all other deluding spells. Pradyumna approached Shambhara and called him to battle, hurling intolerable insults at him to foment a conflict. Offended by these harsh words, Shambhara became as agitated as a kicked snake. He came out club in hand, his eyes red with rage. Shambhara whirled his club swiftly about and then hurled it at the wise Pradyumna, producing a sound as sharp as a thunder crack. As Shambhara's club came flying towards him, Lord Pradyumna knocked it away with his own. Then, O king, Pradyumna angrily threw his club at the enemy. Resorting to the black magic of the Daityas taught to him by Maya Danava, Shambhara suddenly appeared in the sky and released a downpour of weapons upon Krishna's son. Harassed by this rain of weapons, Lord Rukmineya, greatly powerful warrior, made use of the mystic science called Mahamaya, which was created from the mode of goodness and which could defeat all other mystic power. The demon then unleashed hundreds of mystic weapons belonging to the Guhyakas, Gandharvas, Pisachas, Urugas, and Rakshasas, but Lord Karshni, Pradyumna, struck them all down. Drawing his sharp-edged sword, Pradyumna forcefully cut off Shambhara's head, complete with red mustache, helmet, and earrings. As the residents of the higher planets showered Pradyumna with flowers and chanted his praises, his wife appeared in the sky and transported him through the heavens back to the city of Dwarka. O king, Lord Pradyumna and his wife resembled a cloud accompanied by lightning. As it descended from the sky into the inner quarters of Krishna's most excellent palace, which were crowded with lovely women, the women of the palace thought he was Lord Krishna when they saw his dark blue complexion, the color of a rain cloud, his yellow silk garments, his long arms and red-tinged eyes, his charming lotus face adorned with a pleasing smile, his fine ornaments, and his thick, curly blue hair. Thus the women became bashful and hid themselves here and there. Gradually, from the slight difference between his appearance and Krishna's, the ladies realized he was not the Lord. Delighted and astonished, they approached Pradyumna and his consort, who was a jewel among women. Seeing Pradyumna, sweet-voiced, dark-eyed Rukmini remembered her lost son, and her breasts became moist out of affection. Srimati Rukmini Devi said, "Who is this lotus-eyed jewel among men? What man's son is he, and what woman carried him in her womb? And who was this woman he has taken as his wife? If my lost son, who was kidnapped from the maternity room, were still alive somehow, he would be of the same age and appearance as this young man. But how is it that this young man so much resembles my own Lord Krishna, the wielder of Sangha, in his bodily form and limbs, in his gait, in the tone of his voice, and in his smiling glance? Yes, he must be the same child I bore in my womb, since I feel great affection for him, and my left arm is quivering." As Queen Rukmini conjectured in this way, Lord Krishna, the son of Devaki, arrived on the scene with Vasudeva and Devaki. Although Lord Janardana knew perfectly well what had transpired, he remained silent. The sage Narada, however, explained everything, beginning with Sambhara's kidnapping of the child. When the women of Lord Krishna's palace heard this most amazing account, they joyfully greeted Pradyumna, who had been lost for many years, but who was now returned as if from the dead. Devaki, Vasudev, Krishna, Balaram, and all the women of the palace, especially Queen Rukmini, embraced the young couple and rejoiced. Hearing that lost Pradyumna had come home, the residents of Dwarka declared, "Ah, providence has allowed this child to return as if from death." It is not astonishing that the palace women, who should have felt maternal affection for Pradyumna, privately felt ecstatic attraction for him as if he were their own lord. After all, the son exactly resembled his father. Indeed, Pradyumna was a perfect reflection of the beauty of Lord Krishna, the shelter of the goddess of fortune, and appeared before their eyes as Cupid himself. Since even those on the level of his mother felt conjugal attraction for him, then what to speak of how other women felt when they saw him? Purport. As Srila Vishnu Chakravarti explains, whenever the palace women saw Sri Pradyumna, they immediately remembered their lord, Sri Krishna. Srila Prabhupada comments as follows in Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Sukadeva Goswami has explained that in the beginning, all the residents of the palace, who were all mothers and stepmothers of Pradyumna, mistook him to be Krishna and were all bashful and affected by the desire for conjugal love. The explanation is that Pradyumna's personal appearance was exactly like Krishna's, and he was, factually, Cupid himself. There is no cause of astonishment, therefore, when the mothers of Pradyumna and other women mistook him in that way. It is clear from the statement that Pradyumna's bodily characteristics were so similar to Krishna's that he was mistaken for Krishna even by his mother. Thus, in the purports of the humble servants of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, to the 10th canto, 55th chapter of Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled History of Pradyumna. So, here we have the conclusion of this story of Pradyumna's birth, how he got kidnapped, and how he returned to the palace. So this particular verse talks about how he grew up in a very short time. And this type of statement is used also in discussing about Krishna and how he actually grew up quicker than expected, so that his ages came earlier. So we know that Krishna has his young age, Komara, and then he has a Pauganda age, and then he has a Kishore age, and then after that is Yovana. So Krishna remains eternally in Kishore period in the spiritual world. But when he has his pastimes in the material world, he is born, and then he goes through the Komara age and the Pauganda age and reaches Kishore age. But the normal ages are slightly different by a few years. So Krishna actually goes through these ages much quicker. So by the age of 5, he's completed his Komara, and he goes into Pauganda, And then by the age of 8, he enters into the Kishore period, when normally it's much later than that. So, therefore, the normal age is a little bit different from Krishna when he appears. His ages are quicker. And similarly, we see here that Pradyumna also grew up very quickly. He didn't take 11, 12, 13, 14, 15 years like that. Everything happened quite quickly. So this, of course, is the will of the Lord. Obviously, the Lord doesn't have a material body. He's not under the control of time, etc. And usually when these ages are defined, they're talking about material bodies, material people, when they talk about the age of 7 or 8 or 9 or 10. And Krishna and his associates don't have material bodies, so therefore they're not subject to the same rules. They don't have to grow in the same time periods. By his own will, Krishna can manifest different types of ages. So, in terms of the pastimes in Vrindavan, things had to be done quite quickly because Krishna had some duties to fulfill. He had to kill Kamsa, and he had to kill the other supporters of Kamsa, like Jarasandra, etc. So therefore, he couldn't stay too long in Vrindavan. At the same time, his principal purpose in coming was to give joy to his devotees in Vrindavan. Mother Yasoda and Nanda Maharaj and the elder cowherd people wanted to experience Krishna in his Kaumara age. So therefore, Krishna appeared there and went through the age. Then Krishna wanted to experience and give bliss to the cowherd boys, which is mainly in the Pauganda age, which is next to that. So therefore he had to go through that age also. And then he had to give pleasure to the gopis for some time in Madhurya Rasa. So therefore he had to enter into Kishore age. But he had to do that all very quickly, because then he had to leave and go to Kilkamsa, etc. So therefore the ages were quickly passed through until he got to the Kishore period. And then from the age of 8 to 11, or 11 and a half or whatever, then he remained in Kishore period, and he experienced Madhurya Rasa with the gopis. In this way, he satisfied these different devotees, those in Vatsalya Rasa, those in Sakya Rasa, and those in Madhurya Rasa, which was his main goal. But after doing that, then he carried out his other duty of killing the demons, and killing Kamsa and the other demons, and putting the Yarus in charge of the throne, etc., and then helping the Pandavas rule. So the ages are by Krishna's will, and that is why he does in a certain way, is dependent on pleasing his devotees in different ways. So therefore, age is simply an aspect of his pastimes, and his pastimes are for giving joy to his devotees. So therefore, it's not subject to the normal rules of society and material world and material bodies. So, similarly here, Pradyumna grew up very quickly, and then Pradyumna killed the demon Sambara, and then he returned to the palace where he gave great joy to Krishna and Rukmini, who was his mother, and all the inhabitants of the palace. So here, there is a little bit of a contradiction, because it talks about how the women of the palace got attracted to Pradyumna, thinking him to be Krishna, because they were reminded so much that he was Krishna. And then the explanation in this last verse is that it is natural, because he looks so much like Krishna, that people would mistake him for Krishna. So therefore their conjugal feelings, the feelings of the queens and others, may be invoked by that. Nevertheless, here he plays a distinct role. He is not Krishna, he is the son of Krishna. And we see here the description of how the queen saw him, and then they recognized, oh, he's not Krishna after all. And so therefore their feelings of conjugal love disappeared, because it wasn't Krishna. Because there was some slight difference. So Krishna is the person who, a form of the Lord, who has all the 64 qualities manifested in the most full way. And then other persons like Balaram, a little bit less, and then here we have his son Pradyumna, who's also Bhagavan, he's non-different, and he's a little bit less like this also. So very similar, but there's less qualities and slight differences are there. And then if we go further and further and further down, we get Vishnu, then there's more differences. Still, the difference is considered to be slight, not too much difference, because he's still Bhagavan. But then when we get to Shiva, then there's more difference. So we don't call him Bhagavan anymore, even though he's considered to be Supreme Lord or Ishvara. And then when we get to Jivas, they're not in the same category at all, because they are Anu, very small particles. They're dependent on the Lord eternally, etc. Nevertheless, the Lord is so merciful that he empowers Jivas. So they have great powers like the Lord. So we get the Shaktivesh avatars, who have special powers eternally. And they have spiritual bodies eternally. So they're something like the Lord because they have special powers given by the Lord. But constitutionally, they're still distinct, and they never change their nature as Jiva. So we have persons like Narada Muni, or Parsaram, or Prithu, or the Kumaras. They become special power by the Lord, and they stay in that particular body eternally. But they are Jivas, they're not Supreme Lord. So we have various degrees of manifestation of the powers of the Supreme Lord. Of course, less than that, then we have others like Guna avatars, like Brahma. He doesn't have an eternal spiritual body, and his power is given to create the material world are not eternal. It's temporary. And we've got the Manus, who are empowered by the Supreme Lord, and the Devatas as well. They're called Vibhutis of the Lord. They are Jivas with power temporarily given. So that's a lesser degree even. So in this way, the Lord, in various ways, manifests his qualities, even among the Jivas. Now, so as the Lord, he expands himself into these different forms. Some of the forms are not related at all. So therefore we have Krishna and we have Rama and we have Varaha. So they're more or less separate forms and have their own separate, we can say, associates. Who are actually expansions of expansions, expansions of Krishna and his associates, like Radha expands into Lakshmi, etc. So, but then we have expansions who participate with Krishna also in his pastimes. So we have an expansion as brother, Balaram. And then we have expansions as sons, Pradyumna, who's directly the Lord. Of course, there are other sons who are not Supreme Lord. So Krishna had 10 sons, I think, by each of the queens there, and they were not Supreme Lord. They're not Supreme Lord, they're Jivas, so they're in a different category. So, but then here we have a son who is actually the Supreme Lord. So the relationship is one of Vatsalya. We see here how Rukmini, she felt love for her son. So there is that feeling of Vatsalya. But he's also a form of God, so it's a little peculiar how that can be. And Krishna's feeling affection for his son, which is actually a Supreme Lord. If it's the Jivas, like the other sons of Rukmini, fine, but when it's Supreme Lord, it looks a little peculiar. But such things can happen by the Shakti of the Supreme Lord himself. They are in these particular roles of Pradyumna as the son and Krishna as the father, even though they're essentially one person, and they're in two forms. and they identify with those roles. Therefore, Krishna has those feelings of Vatsalya for his son, along with Rukmini. This is possible here because of the nature of Krishna, that he has unlimited shaktis by which he can accomplish these types of identities and without difficulty at all. So we have Pradyumna as his son, and others are not the Supreme Lord at all, but Pradyumna is a very special category. So, therefore, it's not surprising, because he is Supreme Lord, that there is, and he is so similar to Krishna being his son, that there would be attraction of some sort of the queens and others to Pradyumna. And furthermore, Cupid had entered into him. So Cupid is the god of love. But we have to distinguish here between the material Cupid and Supreme Lord. So the material Cupid is a devata only, and he's in charge of material love. Whereas in the spiritual world, everything is governed, but not by material Cupid or material love, but by prema. So it is quite different, the idea. So although Cupid had entered, actually the real Cupid is Krishna. So he's Kamadev also, because he is in charge of Madhurya Rasa in the spiritual world, and he invokes Madhurya Rasa. So he's the primary Cupid in the material world. So we can say that his expansion is Pradyumna, who also has the material Cupid mixed in him as well. As I mentioned the other day, sometimes these other devatas enter into the Lord, as in the case of others as well, and into other associates of the Lord, such as the Vasu, Drona entering into Nanda Maharaj, and other devatas entering into the Yadus, etc. So this is all possible by the Lord's arrangement. And through this arrangement, they get to experience some of the pastimes of the Lord and the greatness of the Supreme Lord. So therefore, nothing is impossible here, in spite of the we see the conflicting feelings of rasa that arose at this time. So all of this is happens. It mentions here how Krishna actually knew everything already. He knew that Sambhara had taken him away. He knew that Pradyumna was swallowed by the fish. He knew that the Mayavadi was his wife, of the material Cupid, Rati. He actually knew everything already. That's one part of Krishna knows this, yet at the same time, he's playing the role of a bereaved father, like Rukmini is the bereaved mother, until Pradyumna returns. So all of this, again, it's not an act in a sense that he pretends to be one thing, it's actually doing another thing, because that would be false then, and he wouldn't, it would mean he's cheating people. But rather, we can say that he simultaneously functions in different ways. He functions as being the omniscient Lord. At the same time, he plays his part in the pastime. And we can see that in the example of the Brahma Mohana Leela, where Agasura opens his mouth, and then all the cowherd boys very joyfully enter his mouth and say, "Oh, this must be a cave. It looks like a snake, but actually it's a cave. So we'll wander into the cave." So they started going into the cave with all the cows. And then Krishna was looking, says, "Oh, no, this is a big demon." But he couldn't stop them from going in. And he was astonished. "Oh, how is this happening? Why are they going in? I'm calling out and they're not listening to me. They're running into the mouth of the demon." And then he realized, "Oh, it's the Leela Shakti. Leela Shakti is in control, not me." Leela Shakti is doing everything. So, Leela Shakti often do things, and then Krishna plays the secondary part, and the Shaktis take over and do their part like that. So even Krishna becomes surprised by what happens in some cases. So in this way, he's not really being deceptive or cheating people by knowing everything and just not telling them. But rather, he also is in a certain role under the control of his own Shaktis. So in this way, the pastimes take place. And all of this, of course, is for variation in the rasas within the spiritual world. So here in Dwarka, we have various rasas manifesting. So we have Madhurya rasa between the queens and Krishna. Then we get parental rasa between the queens and Krishna and their sons. And here we have a parental rasa even with the Pradyumna and Rukmini and Krishna. So various rasas manifest in relation with different persons. So this variety creates more bliss in the in their within the realm of spiritual rasa.
Sometimes the question may happen that if everything is the first time of the Lord, then why we should? Everything is predetermined. Lord knows everything what's going to happen. He's not stopping it. He's just allowing it.
So well, within the pastimes, then there's always free will operating because jivas have free will. They operate within pastimes. So certain aspects are, we can say, under the control of Krishna and his Leela Shakti. Other aspects are up to the individual will of the devotees taking place in those pastimes, which may surprise Krishna also. So therefore, Krishna is astonished when the gopis quiz him just before the Ras Leela, and they give him a riddle like this, and then he answers. So he is very surprised by them doing this. So often there is a little bit of we could say suspense within the pastimes, even for Krishna, because of the individual actions and desires of the devotees of the Lord. So not everything is predetermined. There's a, and that's what gives also the taste to the rasa, because there's individual wills there as well. But at the same time, we have Krishna's broad control in terms of his shakti and his own intelligence, etc., which gives the whole pastime some particular form.
In the spiritual world, we said that there is no time, aspect of time.
No material time.
That means real time, how they work out, and how does the aspect of time work for the personal needs of the Lord, and how do the devotees know about it?
Well, this is spiritual time. When we talk about material time, this means kala, which is one aspect of maya in the material world. It's Bahiranga Shakti of the Lord, and it acts to manifest creation and destruction of things and cause temporariness, cause old age and death. So that type of time is not there in the spiritual world. Obviously, material time is under the control of Krishna, but the jivas are subject to it. In the spiritual world, that time does not exist, but for pastimes, there is a time. There's a day, there's a night, there are hours in the day and hours in the night, so to speak, or we can say muhurtas that pass, and then different activities take place during those portions of the day or night according to the time. So in that sense, there is a time, but it does not cause aging and death. So that is why I said that Krishna has ages, kind of like the material ages of Kaumara and Pauganda and Kaishara, but it's not under the material laws at all. It's only for pastimes that he has these ages to satisfy his devotees. Similarly, the time there is for manifestation of certain pastimes to please his devotees. So at a certain time in the morning, Krishna gets up and Mother Yasoda bathes him and dresses him and feeds him, and that's her service, so she is satisfied with that. Then he goes out to herd the cows in the morning until the late afternoon with the cowherd boys. And then the cowherd boys are satisfied because they get to play with Krishna all day. Then he comes back in the evening again. So in this way, Krishna has a day and a night and different times. And within that, then he pleases all the different people in the different rasas. So it is for their pleasure that this the leelas take place. And this takes place through a time which is non-destructive.
The childhood pastime exists only in this material world.
Yeah.
But there only Krishna is in a youthful form.
Yeah.
So how did it, so they don't experience like we experience the Lord's.
Well, simultaneously we have Yasoda in the spiritual world where Krishna is Kaishora age, and then simultaneously she manifests in the material world, and there she experiences Kaumara age of Krishna. So she gets satisfied by that also. So, but of course it's also explained that within the Kaishora age, all the persons in different rasas get satisfied. So Yasoda and Nanda are satisfied with Krishna in the Kaishora age. So they can still identify him as their child and show the same affection as in when he was in the Komara age. What? Well, the reason for that is that Lord Chaitanya has revealed Madhurya Rasa as the highest, so he wants to inspire people to Madhurya Rasa, not to Vatsalya Rasa or Sakya Rasa or whatever. But that's a general statement, and we'll find some devotees in these various rasas.
Well, so you are explaining this in the beginning of the class, this Pradyumna's quickly growing up, as well as, you know, Krishna's growing up. Normally Pagunda Kaishira and this Yavana, sorry, this Komara. But we see when Krishna's Komara is, if he grew up quickly to this Pagunda or Kaishira, means there will be unsatisfaction of the love to the person. Like, you know, suppose if he's Komara now, immediately if he grew up to Pagunda, then what will happen? Yeah.
Well, the Vatsalya Rasa of Nandan Yasoda is what's ideal in the, or strongest in the Kaumara age, but still, as I said, even in Kishore age, they still experience that Vatsalya to very high degrees, because even there, it seems that Kishore age seems to include the other characteristics within it, so they can still identify Krishna as their small child, in spite of the fact that he's older.
Huh? What about this, Maharaj? See, in the material world, we see that, you know, there is a variation of love because of that we have a Kamadev, that you're saying there is a material Kamadev. But in the spiritual world, we know that they already have a prema for Krishna. Then what is the use of the Kamadev there in the spiritual world?
Oh, the spiritual Kamadev is Krishna. So, what's the use of Krishna in the spiritual world? Because he invokes love.
Because everyone already have a love for Krishna. Huh? They have a spontaneous love for Krishna already in the spiritual world.
Yeah.
So what is the use of the love only?
Well, it's a secondary feature. When we call Krishna Kamadev, then we're simply indicating he's the most attractive person and he stimulates Madhurya Rasa in other people. That's all it means.
What about to see here? We see that Pradyumna is an expansion of Krishna. What about Ruti? She is also expansion of Rukmini, can you say?
It doesn't really explain here, but we only have to assume that therefore she's also, there's like an amsa also, and the material amsa merges into the the shakti. The shakti. So Rati is the shakti. When she's the wife of Pradyumna, she becomes the shakti. And then the other material one is her amsa, who merges into her, like a material cupid merged into Pradyumna. Madana Mohan, I suppose so, but we can say Krishna in general is Kamadev, because in all forms he's stimulating the love of the gopis.
Yes.